Hey friends, Iron Banner's back as this week's featured event. I'm going to speak very quickly because we have a lot to cover. Today's topic is a god roll guide, a loot strategy guide, etc., and I'm going to try to make it as audio friendly as possible for my commuters, please drive safe, and my friends that are knocking out chores, doing the dishes, etc. So the first thing to mention is Iron Banner's splash screen is moved to the portal. Go to the portal, click Event Iron Banner. And then some of you might not know, but you have to click here for the reward shop to spend your currency. And already off the rip, you get 3 new weapons for participating in Iron Banner. The Spreadshot Hand Cannon, the Trace Rifle, and then the only Iron Banner weapon, the Finite Impactor. I'm going to expand on this more as we get to it. But as you obtain tokens, I actually don't recommend buying any of this stuff. Spend it on Glimmer, because you're going to need the glimmer. In fact, if y'all know a good glimmer farm, let me know in the comment section, and I'll try to relay that in a future video. For now, at the very least, make sure that your ghost shell has an ultimate glimmer booster attached, so that as you're playing Iron Banner, you're obtaining even more glimmer. And this is because if you physically go to the tower and go to Lord Saladin, he now sells all of the legacy gear, not for Iron Banner engrams, but for Glimmer. And I'm going to go down every single one of these that is relevant and tell you what the god roll is. But first, let's talk about the new stuff first, as well as I can summarize all this in case you don't want to watch a 30-minute video. So we're going to start with the new hand cannon, the Finite Impactor, the one you get for simply playing Iron Banner. I believe it's Control or Eruption this week, and I believe the event tasks count in either of the game modes. So Finite Impactor, I think don't overcomplicate this. Either go for a kill chaining roll like Heel Clip and Magnificent Howl, or go for a daily driver roll that improves its stats with something like Slideways or Fragile Focus or Iron Grip, and then combine that with something like Moving Target or Precision Instrument to improve its pseudo range drop-off, stickiness, forgiveness, etc. I do want to mention something like Devour or the Surtarachnid Helmet. Both of those give you a chunk of health back after a kill, so if you combine that with Heal Clip, I imagine you can get some pretty sick reversals on teams, and since this is an Iron Banner weapon, it is going to have that Skulking Wolf trait, and is the only hand cannon that exists in the energy slot. So although it's a 140 and Kramil's Dagger is a 120, this is all you have in that slot. The next weapon to talk about is the Spreadshot Hand Cannon. I have zero experience with these, so I don't really know what to recommend, but the no-brainer looks like Threat Detector, and then either Swashbuckler or 1-2 Punch, although I want to mention that something like Surrounded and Barrel Constrictor looks very good for wiping a team where you don't have to double tap all three players. It might kill in a single tap if you get the right damage boosters and whatnot. But again, I'm not that experienced here. This is for another content creator to cover. Just wanted to mention it. I don't know what the Barrels Magazine Masterwork to recommend. I'll try it out later once I have the God Roll. For those who don't know, I'm taking a more casual approach to my power grinding, and I'm only doing what's fun until I hit the maximum number. Then I have to be practicing delayed gratification. I do all of my grinding for my weapons and armor at the tail end of the season. That way, I'm maximizing the most amount of fun I have per season. Okay, moving on. Ribbon Tail Trace Rifle. I think that Binary Orbit is the perk that makes the most sense. You get, since this is a strand weapon, if you get a kill with an energy weapon, Arc Solar Void, it'll get a 25% damage boost. Except it's not just weapons, it's also abilities. So you can throw a Flux Grenade and then you just get a 25% backpackable damage bonus for 10.5 seconds, which is fantastic and will effectively save ammo with your trace rifle. The other perk on the left-hand column, I would just say Wellspring, since you can use abilities for Binary Orbit and you'll have more ability uptime. Although I also like Threat Detector because it's an information perk. And then Barrel Magazine Masterwork, just go with a combination of range and stability. It's a trace rifle. Most of them are going to feel the same. Although I will mention that if a trace rifle doesn't have Zen Moment, I do feel like I frequently get flinched off if the opponent has a hand cannon. And this is Destiny 2, so chances are they are going to have a hand cannon. Next part of the video, we are going to summarize the Lord Saladin focus decoding. I have a nice little image on screen now that I'm going to read. The top most desirable Iron Banner weapons. Starting off with number 1, Kremil's Dagger with Slideways Adagio. Number 2, Pressurized Precision Fusion Rifle with Discord. We're in a new ammo system, so it just makes sense, and fusion rifles are deadly. You just don't see them as much because people can't manage their ammo good enough. Which I also want to mention on Kremil's Dagger, you can get the Air Assault perk, and it will give you more green ammo for less kills. Number 3, Lethal Abundance Strand Auto Rifle. You can get Slice and Target Lock, and then have, I believe, like a 185 weapon stat or something like that, and it will go down to a 0.67 neutral time to kill. You don't see it enough because we haven't had Iron Banner yet for people to re-obtain that role that they might have deleted in the past. So I promise you this is going to start popping up, and it's also good on Triple Behemoth because you can also go Collective Action instead of Target Lock and still get your 0.67, but it's going to be more forgiving. Number 4, Multimach. Rangefinder, Kinetic Tremors. I know we just got the Mida Mini Tool re-release, and I made a video on that yesterday, but I also compared Multimach in that video. It is just a superior SMG. The reason I recommend Rangefinder Kinetic Tremors now instead of Target Lock is because you could go a high weapon stat to make it a neutral 0.67 instead of its normal 0.73, but then you have the buffer of Kinetic Tremors in case the opponent is far away, thus enabling you to run something like a shotgun and not feel like you don't have a way to kill a medium distance target. You absolutely can with the right kit and with Kinetic Tremors. Pardon any voice mistake. I'm not going to edit this. Number 5, Occluded Finality. Snapshot with Opening Shot or Vorpal Weapon. Why Vorpal Weapon on something that's already a high impact? That is because one of the most popular subclasses on console especially is Spectral Blades, and if the Spectral Blade super is invisible, you need Vorpal Weapon to be able to headshot it. As well as there's also Song of Flame, which is a very popular super, and a lot of people play Dawnblades now. Normally they play well at Radiance and Trials, but in sixes you'll see all kinds. So I like having the option of Vorpal Weapon. I usually use Opening Shot though. Occluded Finality is one of the best sniper rifles, and we now pick up double sniper ammo off the floor. So, something to consider. Number 6, Allied Demand. This is a sidearm perk I recommend. Rangefinder to make it have that drain kind of zoom with Eye of the Storm. Self-explanatory, very fast time to kill. Everyone's running around with the spread shot hand cannons. Don't sleep on sidearms. They're very strong. Number 7, the Guiding Sight Scout Rifle. It's Strand. The perk I recommend is Slice. With Strategist, you can get Slice back, as well as the base stats are missing a little bit of stability, so activating Strategist will make the gun feel like butter. Amazing. It'll feel like Jade Rabbit for a little bit. And the best part is, because you're using Slice, as long as you land first shot, even if they're using a better scout rifle, like the new Trials one with Precision Instrument, or Fang of Ear Ute with Precision Instrument, you're going to force them to take another shot anyway, which can give you the edge for time to kill, as well as having a better damage falloff distance, as well as having your bullet spend more at those scout rifle distances. And since it's a strand weapon, you can also menu off your auto rifle and switch to the scout rifle in a pinch. Number 8, Hero's Burden. Zen Moment, Kill Clip, and this is the most important part, 100 recoil direction. Recently, Bungie said they're removing deterministic recoil, and Hero's Burden was an old weapon, it didn't have deterministic recoil, but in my opinion, it's one of the most noticeable weapons in the game, going from 90 recoil to 100 recoil. 100 is straight up and down, and it is a dream to control on controller. Just pull slightly down, and it's all yellow numbers. Then, if you use the weapon stat, you can get a native 0.67. You have to put a little more juice than the multi-mach, but it can still do it. Number 9, P-Spawn. This is a stasis sidearm. It's a burst sidearm, 3-shot burst. Perks I recommend are Rangefinder and Desperate Measures. Although it does have Zen Moment instead of Rangefinder, I find that the zoom leads to more consistency on the very first bullet, which is what I need to win the gunfight. Otherwise, I feel like I lose the target in the gun model itself. So back in the day before the weapon stat was nerfed, weapon stat used to give 6%, which would let P-Spawn run around and neutral tubers people at 0.5 time to kill. Now it's 0.73, and you still have an extra bullet to spare in case they're using some sort of damage resist. So P-Spawn's still very good, but there's a trial sidearm called Forgiveness that has precision instrument with the weapon stat to actually get that neutral time to kill shift, so therefore it's better. P-Spawn's a little bit worse, but I'm still recommending it on this list because with the right build, like say a Balador's Wrathweaver Warlock or something like that, maybe Bakras Hunter, you can very easily achieve your two burst, and it's very forgiving, no pun intended, with forgiveness, and then you can get even more forgiveness by activating Desperate Measures in a variety of ways. So P-Spawn, easy to use, covers most of the possible builds you'll see from the opponent. It doesn't care about damage resist, and it's very easy to tip it to a consistent two burst, even against damage resist. Make sense? Number 10, Nature Reclaimed Solar Scout Rifle. It's lightweight. The perks I recommend are Shoot to Loot and Box Breathing, with a heavy emphasis on the highest total of range and stability. This used to have a wonky sight that swayed all over the place. Then they cleaned it up, and it's a dream to shoot, although it still lacks being a lightweight, so you need those stats to make it feel good. Keep in mind that Enhanced Shoot to Loot does give you plus 5 range, and it is very noticeable. The reason I'm recommending it here is because with the weapon stat, Box Breathing can yield, I believe, a 0.6 time to kill, just neutrally. So I recommend using that with a high weapon stat and something like Knucklehead Radar Exotic Helmet on Hunter. Otherwise, there's some interesting stuff you can do with this scout rifle with other roles that I plan to abuse this week because I am running Healer Warlock, new and improved. I'll probably be joining a lot of other streamers, maybe duoing or trioing. They're gonna hire me as a healer, and here's what I'm rocking. I'm gonna go through it so quick, commuters, trust. Empowering Rift now kind of refreshes itself. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna throw a turret, throw an Empowering Rift, which refreshes my turret and my rift. I'm gonna camp in it for some Lumina rounds. I'm gonna buff my teammates. I'm gonna have a very high weapon stat once I get the armor. And then I'm going to use that Nature Reclaim Scout and just run around neutral 3-tapping people until I get a kill clip. And then it's still gonna 3-tap people, but it's gonna have a more forgiving time to kill. And turrets are just gonna be around the battlefield randomly. I'm randomly gonna be getting more aim assist, and I'm randomly gonna be hitting people with Threadlings or Hellion or something like that. So as long as I'm scared hiding behind my teammates and healing them, I'll eventually be able to sneak a free t a 3-tap, which is gonna be sick on giant maps. Okay, next thing to mention is the armor itself. The iron set, I'm not even gonna read that. The two-piece bonus, as your health gets lower, your weapons gain increased stability and handling. Weapon final blows while your shields are depleted heal you. Four-piece set. When your shields become broken, you gain increased ammo generation, flinch resistance, and damage resistance against nearby combatants for a short time. Now, I would imagine that they allow this to work in PvP, although I haven't tested. Regardless, I don't actually recommend the four-piece because there's a better two-piece set called Bushido Armor, as well as the new Disaster Core Armor. Depending on if you're using a scout rifle or not, you're going to combine two of those three two-piece sets. So either Bushido Disaster Core, Bushido Iron Banner, or Disaster Core Iron Banner. Any of those combinations is going to be fantastic for essentially reversing all the damage somebody did to you in a gunfight if you're winning your gunfight. I don't see this enough out in the wild, and for brand new players that don't have Tier 5 armor, I recommend the first thing you do before you even set foot in PvP is go to the Pinnacle Op playlist in the portal and get you just a couple pieces of Bushido armor because it absolutely makes a difference when you don't have the high stat totals. Like, ideally, you want to get to as close to 200 health stat as possible, but because you don't have tier fives, it's better to just tank the health stat and disregard it completely and instead build into other ways of healing, like the Worm Husk Helmet on Hunter, the Bushido set bonus, the Iron Banner set bonus, and the Disaster Core set bonus, as well as healing grenades and other things of that nature. It's just going to be far more effective for maximizing the tier 1 poverty builds than anything else, in my opinion. Yes, it's a little bit boring, but I'm telling you, PvP with a boring build is eons better than doing anything PvE related in the portal all the way to the max power. PvP is so much more fun, and I don't understand the hate it gets when I played through a couple PvE activities and raids, and I don't know how you can justify doing it all the way to the top when you're going to end up playing the same amount of time in the season anyway, and you're going to passively obtain all the god rolls that you would have anyway. Disregarding, of course, like contest raiders and people who are pushing for speedruns and worlds first, they have a reason to front load their grind. Sorry for the voice crack. And then also content creators have a reason to front load the grind so they can get the review out. But for us normal players, I guess I'm wrapping myself in there for now. I say just do what's fun passively. I'm going to keep repeating that in my videos until it makes sense to people. So anyway, I made this list of top most desirable Iron Banner weapons, right? List again is Kremil's Dagger, Pressurized Precision, Lethal Abundance, Multi-Mock, Occluded Finality, Allied Demand, The Guiding Sight, Hero's Burden, Peace Spawn, and Nature Reclaimed. I think Kremil's Dagger is such an S-tier weapon that you should primarily focus on getting that before anything else on that list. I would say off the rip, go for a 3 out of 5 Kremil's Dagger God Roll, which means Adagio or Precision Instrument with a decent amount of range, stability, and handling. That would be my 3 out of 5. Then after that, go through the rest of this top 10 list and just get 2 out of 5 rolls. They don't have to have both of the main perks, but just maybe one of the main perks and some decent stats. Then after you get all those other 9 weapons, go back to the Kremil's Dagger and try to get a 4 out of 5 roll, where maybe you get the Slideways or Air Trigger with Adagio or Precision Instrument. Also, keep any of the close enough rolls and just put them in your vault. Delete them at the end of Iron Banner. You never know when you might try one of those weapons out and see some value in it. Yes, I know the vault space is getting pretty tight here, especially with all these armor sets, but Kremil's Dagger is that good of a weapon. So then after you get the 4 out of 5 Kremil's Dagger, then you gamble all those other 9 weapons again and go for 3 out of 5 God Rolls. I don't advise ever going for a 5 out of 5. It is extremely unlikely, and people, for whatever reason, demand gambling in this game and then dislike the game for gambling at the same time. I don't get it, and yes, they are the same people asking for this. I don't get it. I would rather just have crafting and play more PvP. Just me, though. Now, I'm not going to advocate for that if it ends up killing the population. I'll eat my shit and gamble if it means a higher player population. But we can't pretend like we're not seeing this, right? I guess I'm weaving little stuff like that in this video. So now the next thing to do is itemize, go through everything relevant in Saladin's focused decoding. Now I'm just going to drag the entire Chrome browser over, and we're going to go in order of what the legacy gear is, starting off with Occluded Finality, the sniper rifle. Again, thinking of my commuters here. Snapshot, opening shot, and then as high handling as you can get on everything else. Honorable mention for Elemental Capacitor to get to 100 handling with Snapshot on an Arc class. So you could play Arc Strider, Striker Titan, and it's going to feel fantastic. I own one of those. And then don't forget about Vorpal Weapon to kill Void Hunters. The next weapon worth mentioning, we are skipping the Forge's Pledge, Frontier's Cry, and Razor's Edge, and going straight to Hero's Burden. For Hero's Burden, this is one of my most effective console weapons, surprisingly. Like, it got me to max out the competitive playlist rank and whatnot, just shooting Witherhorde to act as my grenade, and then Hero's Burden to play around shotgunners. It was fantastic. Got the job done. Zen Moment, Kill Clip, and 100 Recoil Direction with a mix of range and stability. Although, if you got it like that, I'm telling you, you can just crank everything into range and pull down a little bit more on the stick, because it's going to be straight up and down. Now, I never got this roll. I got Fragile Focus instead, which, if you look at what it does to the range, it can pump the range all the way to 94, which is kind of what this SMG needs to feel competitive in this meta. But just keep in mind, if they ever buff SMGs in some regard, you might want to run steady rounds for more stability and a better range stability total. Because it is noticeably harder, but it is still easy. But when you're playing the best players in the world, any amount of easy helps you win the duel. The next weapon is going to be the Wizen Rebuke fusion rifle. I'm not going to tell you what I'm skipping. I'm just going to tell you what's good. So we're not going to go back in game here. The thing about fusion rifles is a lot of people look at this game as just a 1v1 simulator and they forget about all the build crafting in this game. But there is build crafting in this game. I wrote all this down on paper, so I took a picture here. Sorry if my handwriting's bad. Also, shout out to my brother who just became a doctor of physical therapy. So I'm sure his handwriting's worse, and I feel a little bit better about myself there. So anyway, there's damage resist like Omnioculus, Woven Mail, and Frost Armor, and having the option of switching on and off accelerated coils or on and off liquid coils matters in some matchups. So if you can get those options on your gun, it does matter. In the case of Wizen Rebuke, I recommend starting with accelerated coils and having a swap to projection fuse. You don't necessarily need liquid coils, but if you do see somebody running a Frost Armor setup, it might be funny to still obliterate them and they're like, what the hell? Like, you didn't have it prepared. So the recommended roll is Iron Grip for 20 stability or Offhand Strike in that first column. An Offhand Strike, since you can backpack 3 special bullets per life, you can wipe a team. It'll be a very flashy play. You can probably like 35 meter somebody with Offhand Strike and a damage booster. The other perk I recommend is High Impact Reserves. Although it has a magazine of 5, you'll still get High Impact Reserves for 2 of your shots. Successful warm-up could also work for wiping a team. Vorpal Weapon for fighting a super. And Fragile Focus, I kind of don't recommend. Even though you should be pre-charging this, it's the longest charge rate. Therefore, they're probably going to break Fragile Focus before you shoot them. And then if you got it like that, you can go backup plan and just learn to use it. I found it messes me up more than it helps me. It used to be the just go-to perk. It was the best, but the nerf version I think just isn't even worth learning. But if you're a fusion rifle main, maybe that's your little side project. As for the rest of the perks, charge masterwork for sure, and then range and stability elsewhere. The handling's always going to be low, but let's be real. Fusion rifle users don't switch off their fusion rifles. The next weapon is Allied Demand. This is the drain counterpart. Go Rangefinder and then Eye of the Storm so it's the most consistent experience possible. Keep in mind the gun model is going to lose the opponent a little bit as you shoot, so you just gotta trust the aim assist and let it take the wheel, and on controller, it's gonna get results. I don't think you need 100 recoil direction, so just go for a mix of range and stability. Next is Gnora's Axe. Although this gets power crept by other Arc Slugs, it does have Skulking Wolf, and if you don't already have one of those Arc Slugs, this is why I'm mentioning it here. As well as it also has Hipfire Grip if you do want to use something like Lion Rampant on Titan. However, keep in mind that something like Sojourner's Tale exists that has Discord, and it's a Solar Slug. So for sixes, I'm just going to use that, since I don't necessarily need Skulking Wolf to come up. And I'm going to be real, if I'm feeling hot with a slug, they aren't damaging me. The next weapon is Jorm's Claw, which previously I would have put like maybe number 2 or number 3 on my recommendation list, but that was before the weapon stat got nerfed. Now there's only one pulse rifle that's adaptive in the game that can 2-burst with the weapon stat, and it's the Kepler one with the elemental perk or whatever it's called. I already forget the name. But regardless, Jorm's Claw is still good with the right build, and I recommend Iron Grip in the first column with Golden Tricorne in the second. Alternatives could be maybe Moving Target and Kill Clip. And then since deterministic recoil is going away, you're still going to want Arrowhead on this, and then mix of range and stability. And it's going to be fantastic. Just the slightest damage booster. This could be an Empowering Rift, Radiant, Collecting Surges, etc. with the weapon stat. It's going to 2-burst, and then you can get Golden Tricorne rolling. Realistically, get Golden Tricorne 2 with fusion grenades or something, or Athris throwing knives, and just eviscerate lobbies with this thing. Although it doesn't have Heal Clip to chain, you can get very creative to where you don't even need to proc kill clip because you're basically almost one bursting people down. Moving on, Bite of the Fox sniper rifle. Snapshot, opening shot, high handling, right? Not complicated. But the extra roll worth considering is Slick Draw explosive payload. Shout out to Steezel. Look up Steezel's channel on YouTube. A lot of good bow and sniper montages and throwing knives and whatnot. Just a kind of my approach to the game. Plays it like you're hitting the sickest skateboard line and does it just because it looks cool. And he's a very strong player, but holy shit, bows were strong back in the day, and he used to annoy the hell out of me when I ran into him in a rumble. Not like as a person, playstyle, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, the Steezel shotgun is slick draw explosive payload. You just tap him with the bow, instant swap to the sniper, and pull the trigger. It also has Vorpal Weapon as an option, which again, you keep in the backpack for those spectral blades. Moving on, the next weapon is Pressurized Precision Strand Fusion Rifle. This one I have a lot to talk about, along with the damage resist diagram I had. The long and short of it is, if you're going for accelerated coils in the magazine, you need high impact reserves in the second slot to be able to cleanly kill in 5 out of the 7 bolts. And now I can delete that because we don't need it anymore. Always go a charge time masterwork, then a mix of range and stability. I don't actually recommend going accelerated coils or liquid coils here, but definitely have the option to account for build crafting. And since you can carry a lot of special ammo now, like sometimes I find myself with 12 special ammo before I die, high impact reserves isn't doing anything for you. So there is a case to be made for rangefinder if you aim down sights, Eye of the Storm if you don't aim down sights, Vorpal Weapon to kill a super, and Cornered to use your ammo smart against two opponents. And I believe you still have enough time to get a primary kill, swap to Cornered, and still be able to use it on the second Guardian, getting you that Discord refresh. The next weapon is the Multimach Submachine Gun, one of the best in slot for close quarters weapons that has the Skulking Wolf perk. I already talked about this one on the list, but it's the same here. Rangefinder for consistency with kinetic tremors to act as damage falloff to extend the effective kill range. Otherwise, if you're just playing sixes, chaining kills, you can't go wrong with kill clip. If you don't go into the weapon stat, target lock's amazing. And if you do go into the weapon stat, tap the trigger is amazing. If you don't get rangefinder, it's not the end of the world. I think moving target is still very fantastic on this. And then for build crafters, you can switch to an under-over version of Multimach to help kill like Well of Radiance and Rift Warlocks and whatnot. As for the Barrel Magazine Masterwork, range and stability. Ideally, you get the option of both, so you can switch it to the meta whenever Bungie changes. Okay, I mentioned the point of the stag bow here because it can do something very, very interesting with the weapon stat that it couldn't previously do. It was so close to being able to one-tap to the head after proccing Golden Tricorn times 2 and then using something like Mask of Bokhris. With the Mask of Bokhris buff, I think this is realistic. So what you would do is you would use Combination Blow on Prism Hunter with Bokhris. Shoot him with the bow, you get your kill. Next player rounds the corner, shoot him in the head, Bokhris laterally to the side, and then just punch them, try to make sure you're near their back or something like that. And then you'll have Radiant from a Fragment, along with Golden Tricorn times 2, and since you did use Bokhris, everything's active at once. I don't even think you need that much weapon stat. I think you'd need like 110, and it'll one-tap. I'm sure Hinra's already done this before, or just somebody in Cardinal Dive, so maybe they can mention that in my comment section, and we can find the video. The next weapon is the Guiding Sight Scout Rifle, Strand. And this has a lot of interesting options. The best perk is definitely Slice, but if you're not going the Slice route, then Moving Target. As for the other column, I recommend Strategist so it feels like Jade Rabbit after you dodge or just use your class ability. But there is fun to be had with the Cascade Point perk, especially if you use it with something like Prometheus Lens and just chain between a Trace Rifle and then let's just see what it does to the time to kill. It's normally a 0.8, and it goes to a 0.48, so it's just like a cross-map last word. You could also use Adrenaline Junkie with some build crafting to get a 0.4 time to kill with a 2-tap, or Precision Instrument with the weapon stat or damage boosters to always get a two-head, one body, regardless of the combination. And you're always going to keep this in your inventory for a strand setup to swap in the competitive playlist until Bungie fixes it. Next up, Lethal Abundance Auto Rifle. This was, let's check my list, top three. The recommended perk is Slice with Target Lock. Then you get high weapon stat, 185, I think, and you just get up 0.67 time to kill. Or you use Behemoths and use Collective Action. As for the perks, I recommend Arrowhead Break to get it to 100 recoil direction, and then a mix of range and stability. The next weapon's kind of going to be a wild card, but I've gotten a lot of results with it. That is the Reese Walker Kinetic Shotgun. Go for Discord and Harmony. Yes, that exact combination, because it's going to let you main your shotgun in sixes. The trade-off is you're going to have a little bit less handling and a little bit less range, but once you get Harmony rolling, that extra damage makes up for that, and you basically have infinite shotgun ammo. And since it's a weaker shotgun, Skulking Wolf happens a lot more than you think, so you can just be like pseudo-invis and sneak up on people with Discord and the shotgun active at the same time. The next weapon is Claws of the Wolf. I got an email from a viewer the other day, there's something along the lines of like, I'm an older gamer, I want recommendations on builds and weapons and whatnot. And then shout out to my dad, who has more Wither Horde kills than the Horde Father. So what does that say about me? Claws of the Wolf is his favorite gun. So I do recommend it, although the deterministic recoil is changing, so my roll recommendation is changing. Arrowhead Break plus, I believe, a counterbalance mod to try to make that recoil direction go up to 98. You are losing out on radar booster, but in this case, it's worth it because even if you saw that the opponent was farther away, you can't do anything about it with Claws of the Wolf because it just doesn't have that range. What Claws of the Wolf Rapid Fire Pulse has going for it is it's easy to use, which is why I recommend it to that question. Hey, I'm an older gamer, I'm more casual, I'm less experienced in PvP. What's the weapon recommendation? Claws of the Wolf, baby, it shoots itself. It's not the best sight and it kind of jumps all over the place, but you can mitigate the low handling with snapshot sights and then mitigate the jump with Zen Moment. And if you're like me and do a little build crafting, maybe swap weapons in the competitive playlist, don't sleep on Repulsor Brace and Kill Clip or Disruption Break and Elemental Capacitor. Goes crazy. Moving on. Kramil's Dagger. We already know what the good roll is, right? Slideways plus Adagio or Precision Instrument. Why Precision Instrument? Because there might be an Overshield meta in the future, or you might be killing people off of spawn, or you just want a consistent 3-tap experience against build crafting. Any builds that show up. Okay, let's talk about Air Trigger. You're going to see the ammo generation stat jumps from 56 to Enhanced Air Trigger all the way to 96. And I did a lot of math on how ammo works, and I'm going to put that on screen now. So I was testing this with snipers on the off chance that sniper rifles pick up 3 bullets off the floor instead of 2. Long story short, that doesn't work like that. The big takeaway, though, is that there is a helmet mod and a chest mod on your armor that can give you a green brick for 2 kills instead of 3. So this is where that Kramil's Dagger comes into play. It can either free up a chest mod or a helmet mod, or both, depending on how you use the build. And it works for your whole team, too. So if you're running, like, I don't know, double Cloud Strike and a fusion rifle, one of you could be on this Air Trigger Kramil's Dagger, and the whole team is going to be eating good. Some food for thought. I'm not going to go crazy on that topic in this video because I need to learn it better myself to tell you how to optimize it in a future video. So next, Kramil's Dagger roll. Explosive payload might be the move with the weapon stat. It'll just be causing all that flinch. If you want a daily driver, just feel good weapon. There's always Zen Moment. My most used roll on console is Strategist because it feels like it has no recoil whatsoever, and I'm always dodging on Hunter. And then because of the weapon stat, I believe it's 135 plus Kill Clip yields a 2-tap. And so the difference between Adagio is a 0.6 two tap. And then Killcliff is a 0.5 two tap. Moving on. I just want to reiterate then. Cremoz Dagger is one of the best, if not the best, weapon in the game. So don't leave Iron Banner without it. I don't care if it's not a tier 5 weapon. The tier system is a myth. It doesn't actually make you better at PvP, although the armor is pretty nice. It's the set bonuses I want, though, not necessarily the tier 5. If I was a trial Sherpa and playing all day, though, the tier 5s are really nice. And the fact that if I get the tier 5s now, they don't go away next season. I just have to regrind all the way to the top to get a different tier 5 set. So I'm kind of motivated to get the armor since I just get to use it for the rest of Destiny 2 until Bungie decides to change the system, because people asked for one thing, might have got what they wanted, maybe monkey's pawed a little bit. I can recap that now since you want to do a long-form video. I think Bungie didn't read the room correctly. They knew there was some feedback for a better grind, but they gave them the wrong grind that they were asking for. I think that's the summary. But keep in mind, Destiny 2 has an identity crisis. I did a Twitter poll a while back that asked all these divisive questions on Destiny, and as you can imagine, it was pretty much a 50-50 split for almost every question that came up. So no matter what Bungie does, there's always going to be a large portion of the community that doesn't like it, and then another portion of the community that loves it. So damned if they do, damned if they don't. I'm having fun right now, so I'm going to keep playing. Moving on, the next weapon is the Warlord Spear. Voice dying. This one seemed kind of bad until I started thinking about it. It's a trace rifle, ARC. On the left-hand perk, it can get high impact reserves or hip fire grip. And high impact reserves is interesting because it's a 100-round magazine, and due to the nature of the special ammo system, you're going to be on that bottom half most of the time you use it. Therefore, you're just going to have, like, I don't know, a 3% damage boost at all times, which does make a tangible difference on the time to kill, dropping it from a 0.73 to a native 0.67 that gets even more consistent with the weapon stat. Then for a damage booster, you can think of it as you either use 4 times the charm and land headshots to effectively save ammo, or you use a build that procs desperate measures to do more damage to use less ammo for a kill, or you disregard both of those entirely and try to proc detonator beam. I don't even know if this is good in PvP, but I know I've seen console players that drop like 70 bombs using this perk, and it probably is just because they're a really good player. But in the back of my head, I always think, like, well, what if detonator beam is making a difference here? So although I'm not recommending it, just put it on your radar, try it out, and report back to me in the comment section, because I'm not gonna try to drop 70 bombs with the trace rifle anytime soon. So just let me know. As for the other perks, barrel magazine, masterwork, try to get to 100 recoil direction and then a high mix of stability and range. Next weapon is the P-Spawn sidearm. I recommend 100 recoil direction if you can get it. It's not a complete deal breaker. With range finders, you can see what you're shooting at, and desperate measures, since it is the most versatile damage booster perk. Although I think this weapon is so good that you can justify having multiple roles in your vault like I do. You can have Desperado for a damage booster, maybe a Radiant setup, and get a blazing fast time to kill. So here's all your time to kills. 0.73 at base, takes 7 bullets. Desperate measures times 1, it's 0.5. Desperate measures times 2, it's a 0.5, but you get to miss one of the headshots and get a body shot instead. Then kill clip goes from a 0.73 to a 0.5 with 4 headshots, 2 body shots. And then Desperado goes from a 0.73 to a 0.59. But as soon as you start adding Radiant to it, it drops to a 0.43 from a 0.5. So not an extreme distance, but keep in mind that faster rate of fire is a form of forgiveness if you miss the entire burst outright. The final weapon to talk about is the Nature Reclaim Scout Rifle. I have a lot to say here, but the biggest part is the Disaster Core set bonus, which lets you reload after a scout kill, and it starts regenerating your health, which brings extra value to Heal Clip in the left-hand perk column. So you can go crazy, I already talked about my build a little bit, with something like Lumina, a high weapon stat, and that Iron Banner Scout rifle with heel clip with disaster core. And it's just, even if you have zero health stat, you're still out healing everything anybody throws at you anyway downrange, unless they all have scout rifles too. But usually it takes half the match for them to switch to a scout rifle on the biggest maps in the game, even though they see it loading up. Trust me, I've been there too. I'm going all over the place with this video, but I know y'all appreciate the banter and whatnot. A lot of you already got to work and are saving the rest of this for the lunch break or back home. I got you. But there's a lot of interesting things you can do with this. Precision Instrument with all the damage boosters. Box Breathing with the weapon stat. Explosive Payload with the weapon stat and damage boosters, just to get crazy flinch against other scout rifles. Desperate Measures so you don't even have to reload and can keep your three taps rolling after you lose your Lumina buffs or your Empowering Rift. It's a lightweight though, and Mida Multi-Tool also got a buff, so I almost recommend just using the Multi-Tool since it's better in every conceivable way, except for the build crafty stuff. Okay, I remember what I was going to say. My advice for having fun in this game in PvP is to never commit to a close range setup exclusively. Like, for example, I love using, let's say, a Zen Moment auto rifle and just trying to hit yellow numbers. But not every map is conducive to that. Like, if I get Widow's Court, Eternity, The Fortress, I really struggle to get meaningful engagements that let me shoot my primary. So what's my recommendation? Have three builds. Have a long range build for those long maps, a medium build for the medium maps, and a close range setup for the close range maps. And if you're not loading in with those three builds ready to go, you are not going to have a good time in PvP. I think that covers everything I wanted to say in this video. Have fun in the Iron Banner, be kind to your fellow player, and in the comment section, even though I spoke opinions a little bit too much in this video, but that is what you signed up for, and I will respectfully disagree and always try to advocate for whatever brings the most player population, even if I don't personally agree with it. See y'all in the next one. Also, I might be live streaming.